Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX. Welcome to the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 42, joined again with our very dear friend, Magnus.
What's happening?
How are you, sir?
I am well stuffed.
So it's early February. This won't be out until sometime in March, I guess, mathematically.
Good
I
month.
Haven't seen you, so
nope.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And how are you?
I am good.
What's going on in the world of Magnus?
Work, searching for women and work.
Okay, that's it?
Yes.
That's good,
pretty,
though.
Pretty much.
We had lunch before we were doing the recording today, and we had spoken very briefly about Billy Joel in the car. And so are you a fan of Billy Joel?
I do like his music. Okay. I saw him live once down in Atlantic City with my father and my uncle back in the 80s.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago. He was doing a casino tour, I guess, and he played down in AC, I believe. I forget the venue, but I was young. I was in my teens, so.
A long time ago.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
It was a good show. Definitely enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. What did you like about it specifically, I suppose?
He's a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely commands the stage when he's there.
I agree completely.
And you know that there's a band playing with him, but you didn't really see him.
Well, it's weird. The reason when you brought him up in the car, I was excited to discuss it in a podcast. Do you know who Liberty DeVito is?
No, I do not.
The reason I asked this question is that Liberty DeVito is the longtime drummer of the great Billy Joel, who he severed ways with, I guess, a little over a decade ago at this point.
Okay.
So we're talking like, I don't know if you know anything about Billy Joel's career per se. He went to the West Coast when he first got his recording deal, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to go back to New York. And when he came back to New York, it was in the late 70s.
Right.
New York was shit. If you know anything about history.
Yeah, I remember the,
When President Ford was asked for federal aid to assist New York, because it was like a bombed out city, the headline on the newspaper, Mike, which no one ever talks about anymore.
Hey, my first job was in the newspaper.
As was mine. I was a paper boy.
I worked in the press room.
Look at you.
Yay.
All advanced and shit.
I like machines.
But it said Ford says drop dead to New York on the cover of the fucking Times and stuff.
Damn.
Yeah, right? It was like heavy. So this is when Billy Joel moves back to New York. Liberty DeVito's like a local drummer.
Okay.
This guy hits so hard, he would shatter his cymbals. And to this day, can still play with that veracity.
Damn.
There's footage of Billy Joel when he finally goes over to Russia, which ironically enough, did you ever see Rocky IV?
Yes.
Okay. At the beginning of Rocky V, they say, oh, Rock, I know you just fought in Russia, but someone stole your money and you're broke now, right? Billy Joel goes and tours Russia, comes home from Russia, someone stole his money.
That's horrible.
True fucking story. And it was his ex-wife's brother. So his former brother-in-law just like fucking stole all of his shit. Like millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Out of his account or out of his house?
Oh, the accounts.
Okay.
All the accounts. And he would go into like safety deposit boxes and it would say, I owe you $4 million. Love Tony or whatever the fuck his name was.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Did the Dumb and Dumber thing, like all the IOUs in the suitcase.
What it was. But the parallel for me is he goes to Russia and he made a joke when he was there. It's like, oh, we're going in the red. We're going to Russia. Ha, ha, ha. Because they're like, oh, he's so rich. It's Billy Joel. No, he was actually going in the red when he went to Russia. Comes home, finds out. So if you remember In the River of the Night, which came out like 93, I think, 94 in that region. In the River of the Night, dude.
Yes.
The really shitty Billy Joel record. My mentor, Chuck Treese, played bass on that fucking record and won a Grammy. We were on tour. I was his roadie.
Wow.
We come back from the stupid tour. There's a Grammy waiting for him in a box in his fucking apartment. He's like, oh, yeah, I got a Grammy for the Billy Joel song. Never even met Billy Joel. The track came to Philly. He played the bass line and went back.
Studio musician.
For real.
I love it, right?
So anyway, Liberty DeVito's the drummer forever. I mean, forever.
Right.
And then in like 2005 or 2006 or something, he had to like go to Billy. He's like, he owed me a lot of money from back in the day for blah, 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 blah. And he had to file a suit. And I think Billy Joel settled out of court and just fucking never called him again. So whenever you see Billy Joel live, this drummer's been there for like 40 fucking years, just isn't there.
It's
like, it does suck because if you're in Led Zeppelin was four guys.
Right.
If you're in Guns N' Roses, there was a bunch of guys. But if you're Billy Joel, the people playing, like you said the words yourself, I didn't even notice there was a band there.
Correct.
That's fucked up.
Like you saw them, they were like more like silhouettes in the background.
Well, it's how they're lit, I suppose.
Right. Well, that's the whole point of the presentation. That's the whole point of the presentation. That's why it's set up like that. Billy Joel is the centerpiece, and then the band kind of arcs around.
Because he's a solo artist.
Correct.
But it sucks if you're the guy to play the drums for 40 fucking years, and then one day you have no fucking job.
Yeah, it is.
Because here's the thing. We discussed this in the car. There was a gentleman who worked for me for 7 seasons.
Correct.
Who's not going to work for me this year.
Right.
He was paid a top rate because it was 7 years in. His replacement won't get that rate, right?
Right.
Well, Billy Joel's new drummer gets nothing because he's a kid who's like 30 years old. He's like, I want Billy fucking Joel. Oh my God, it's amazing. Whereas Liberty DeVito could be like, I want 20% of the door because I've been here for 40 fucking years.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's cheaper to go younger, but it makes me sad, man. That guy's a monster drummer.
Don't let Joey hear that.
Well, but Joey's in a band.
Right.
So the thing of it is, a band is a band is a band.
Correct.
Not the Billy Joel show.
No.
It's like not. If you play for Ozzy, it's fucking Ozzy. There's been 30,000 drummers in Ozzy. There have been dozens of bass players. There have been like 7 guitar players. You know what I mean? In a 40-year run. It's not 40, but 35-year run.
About that.
Let's do the math. 1980 technically is Ozzy. Yeah, we're looking at almost really 40.
Didn't he really branch off in 78 though?
But he came back. Because Never Say Die is like 79.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that? Don't ever say die.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Right? And they were on Top of the Pops. And that's when Van Halen's opening for them. And Van Halen's blowing them off the stage every fucking night.
I saw that concert.
No, you didn't.
No, Van Halen with Ozzy?
No.
At the Spectrum.
Well, I don't know about that concert. Black Sabbath in 1979 goes on tour. And Van Halen opens up.
Oh.
So I don't think you saw Ozzy and Van Halen together, my friend, because in the 80s, they were both too big for that.
No, there was a big show, and Ozzy was the headliner. I did see... No, that's right. It was. It was Van Halen was headlining their own show here in Philadelphia.
There you go. That would make more sense.
Yeah, and it was at the... the Spectrum.
Because once they get past 1984, they're like pretty much a commercial, gigantic band. Then Sammy Hagar joins, and they sell more fucking records.
Right.
Now, here's the irony. As a little kid, as a little Tony Vex, I was waving the David Lee Roth flag forever. He was my fucking hero. Fuck Sammy Hagar. I don't give a fuck. No,
this,
for real,
this
right?
This is where we're opposed right now.
No. I'm going to tell you a story. So Van Hagar could suck my dick forever. Forever, right? 2007 rolls around. They finally get Dave back, right?
Right.
And he opens his mouth and you're like, oh, Dave can't sing so good with the mouth part. The songs don't sound very nice. Sammy Hagar's 175 years old, right? He lies about his age. 175. He's on tour right now.
Still sounds
insane. Sings like an angel. Yes. Like an angel, man.
He has a great voice.
The greatest. And now I'm old and I have all this nostalgia and love for those Van Halen songs with Hagar that you'll never hear again.
Right.
Because Roth can't. Now, down the rabbit hole, the guy who could sing both was Gary Cherone. Look at your face. Yeah. This is radio. You gotta like
verbalize.
Did you ever see the footage of Cherone in 97 when he was fronting that Van Halen band?
I did not.
Phenomenal band. Eddie's sober. They're playing their balls off. And this guy could do Dave songs and Sammy songs.
Right.
Now, the songs they wrote together, a lot of people don't like. I did like that one single. I thought it was pretty cool. A lot of people didn't. Gary Cherone said in hindsight, they should have never put a new record out. They just should have went on the road and did both parts of the catalog live. And this would have won over the audience. Like, oh my God, he can sing like Sammy and he can sing like Dave.
Right.
Because he can.
Yes.
So I feel like Gary Cherone kind of got fucked over there in that one. I don't know.
Eh. Let him stay jamming out with the people he's been jamming out
with. Yeah, so Physical Graffiti was the name of the record. What the fuck was that name of that band? Gary Cherone was in. You have no idea, do you?
Ah, crap.
All right, we're going to just pause. Hold on. Okay, we totally paused, but we're back. Gary Cherone, the front person of Extreme. I fucking hated Extreme. When More Than Words was a hit, it would hurt me in my heart. I'd be like, fuck this song and fuck this video and fuck this band.
Me and my buddies did one, More Than Turds. Did a cover of that at now, Sam see, Ash one day.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah, it was. My buddy wrote the lyrics. I just play guitar.
There you go. But fucking hated Extreme. I hated them so much, man.
Yeah.
And I remember Extreme had More Than Words, and Nirvana happens like a minute and a half later, right? And they ran into each other at an airport. I love this story. And Nirvana's getting off the plane.
Grunge meets hair band.
No, no. Nirvana's getting off the plane, and then fucking Extreme's getting off the plane. And Extreme's like, look, man, no press, okay? We're tired. We don't want to deal with anything. No, just no fucking press, okay? And they walk outside, and all the press is there for Nirvana, and doesn't give a fuck about Extreme.
Aww.
Which is ironic, because, yeah, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit explodes, and it's a different world now.
Exactly.
And that was the last time the press ever wanted to speak to Extreme, ever. No, I'm just kidding. They're supposed to be making a new record, actually, like right around now. And you know, Betancourt wound up playing guitar for Rihanna there for a couple of years. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, like she was on Saturday Night Live, and that's her guitar player, Nino Betancourt.
I have a, what you call it? It was the opening of the Hard Rock Cafe in Tokyo, Japan.
Okay.
And Nino Betancourt, Gary Cherone, what's his name from Racer X? The guitarist.
No idea.
Paul Gilbert.
Racer X? Or is that the band name? I don't know anything about them.
Racer X. They were like a hair band / speed metal, okay. Technical metal.
Okay.
But Paul Gilbert, one of the best guitarists out there. Who was the other guitarist from Genesis? Steve something?
Well, there's only one guitarist from Genesis.
Steve? No, was it?
The guy with the beard. Whose name that I do not know. I'm not a Genesis fan at all. But.
Yeah. But a whole bunch of people were there at that. The guitarist from the bassist from Led Zeppelin.
Okay. John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones was there, played a slew of different
instruments. What was it? Was it, like,
it was just a concert for the opening of the Hard Rock Cafe, but it's a complete 2-hour long jam session of all these phenomenal, players.
Speaking of phenomenal players, you know what happened last week at the NAMM convention?
What?
The original band that backed up David Lee Roth on like the Eat 'Em and Smile era and like all that shit, A Little In Enough, before that. That great bass player, Steve Vai, the guitar player, Billy Sheehan's the bass player, and Bassinet, I think it's the drummer, is that how to say his name. They jammed at NAMM.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're great, dude. They're like monster players. And like there was a thing with, will Roth show up? You know what I mean? Roth didn't show up. And they were supposed to be, all right. This is weird, and you got to bear with me.
Okay,
you're not from LA, and I'm not from LA. There was a place called Gazzari's, which was on the Strip, which I believe became the Key Club.
Okay,
which was a club also on the Strip, and now I think it's like a bowling, Red X Bowling, or something like that. You know those modern, cool bowling alleys you go to where the lights are fluorescent and all that shit. They were supposed to play that band lineup last year at one of those locations. And they were going to have the singer from Steel Panther do the David Lee Roth parts, which would be kind of fucking cool.
That would be cool. Because
he could sing.
Yes.
And then there were so many people that were going to show up. They had like the fire marshal shut it down.
Wow.
Like, dude, if Roth just got with that band for 2 minutes and did a couple of shows, it'd be fucking ridiculous, man.
Have you ever heard of the Winery Dogs?
Come on. Am I dead? That's Billy Sheehan's other fucking band. Of course I know. Okay. But all right. Who's the fucking singer guitar player? Do you know who that is?
God, what is his name again? Richie Kotzen.
Yes, but
he was in Poison.
Yes! Why did he lose the gig in Poison?
Because he was too bluesy.
He was fucking Ricky Rocket's fiance.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But
yeah, I can see that. He has that attitude.
He's a nice guy. He could sing his balls off. He sounds like Chris Cornell when he sings.
Yes, he does. He has actually his solo career was pretty awesome.
Well, now he's in the Winery Dogs, which is ridiculously awesome.
Well, they're big in Japan.
Isn't Portnoy the drummer from Dream Theater? So that's like a monster rhythm section.
Yeah, it's a three-piece.
Yeah. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
I saw their first concert that they did over in Japan. Again, another one. I think they were at the Hard Rock, and they filmed the whole entire thing.
They're just a monster band, dude.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the crowd is insane. You hear, like, Japanese guys, ah, and they're, like, screaming in between songs and stuff like that. And, like, Richie Kotzen's like, yeah.
Totally fuck Ricky Rock's fiance. How you doing? Woo! Boosty, bop, skibbity bop. That's my David Lee Roth impression.
Play with my fingers, yeah.
He's a bad motherfucker. Like, and I remember Bret Michaels in the fucking Behind the Music was like, I threw his bags over the fence and I never saw that dude again. And it's like, I liked Poison when I was a little kid because Poison broke when I was like 12 or some shit.
Right.
And I dug it. I really did. I appreciated it. It wasn't the most fantastic musicianship, but it's good pop tunes and I liked it. And then something... Like, you grow up and you get, like, a little smarter and you get more sophisticated. And you're like, well, this is shit. But yeah. I had this affinity for him. And before we went to Europe in 2002, that summer, I went to see Poison play. at the Tower Theater. And it was fun as shit, dude. And they were really good. And he gave me, he touched my hand and gave me a guitar pick. And he's like 4 foot tall, which you don't know until you see him. You're like, oh, you're 4 foot tall.
Right? Hello, how are you? Oh, that's your hair.
Yeah, I can't touch that. The fucking monster fucking wig. But I don't know. Bret Michaels is, I like Bret Michaels, I guess. I don't know. The fucking, that Rock Star of Love or whatever the fuck it was called. You don't remember that show? Like 10 years ago, 2007? No. Rock of Love. You don't remember Bret Michaels' Rock of Love? That was his big resurgence like 10 years ago.
No, I was under a rock 10 years
ago. One of the chicks who was on that show, we were in LA in 2009 on a tour.
Okay.
And our drummer went to the Viper Room. We were playing across the street somewhere else. And he was just getting some drinks. And one of the bitches was in there. And he's like, dude, she was all cooked up. Fuck that bitch. I don't give a fuck. We met Ron Jeremy on that tour. We met a lot of people on that tour.
Ron Jeremy, the fucking hedgehog.
Disgusting, man. Ugh. On many, many, many levels.
So jealous.
Why?
I don't know. He's banging more women than I'll ever possibly imagine.
He has herpes, you know? Yeah, there's not a lot of positives here. Like,
no, not really.
He's disgusting.
True.
He's really thrifty with his money. He's not a bad person. He's in a couple of films. In his mind, though, he really wants to be a legitimate movie star. And he's not. He's just the hedgehog.
Right.
And, like, young girls will fuck him on screen, but then cry about it later. Like, it's, like, dramatic for them. Like, they're like, oh, God, I don't want him to fuck me. Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, he had to use the pump.
We spun off in 35 directions.
Yes.
I read this thing this morning before I saw you. Johnny Depp was on stage with Stone Temple Pilots playing music. How do you feel about that?
He plays guitar with them from time to time.
Yeah. Well, he was playing in a band with Joe Perry and Alice Cooper for a while. Did you know about that? And they were on tour last year. Hello?
No, I don't know.
They're called the Hollywood Vampires.
That's appropriate.
For real. So that was last year. And now he's just turning up at Stone Temple Pilots fucking shows playing guitar with them.
That's actually kind of cool.
It is cool, right? But he's officially an actor who's now super divorced. Half his fortune's gone. He got fired off the Pirates of the Caribbean. He's like drifting into like Marlon Brando land. Like,
that's not such a bad thing. Marlon Brando was
7,000 pounds when he died. Yes, it's a bad thing.
I don't see Johnny Depp being 7,000 pounds.
He's getting puffy, though, from all the drinking. And Marilyn Manson's like his BFF now. Like, it's like...
Oh, no.
You didn't know about that?
No.
Oh, my God. They're like homies for life.
Oh, God. He's ruined.
They get hammered together, do coke together. It's like, woo! I don't know. I want to like Johnny Depp because of his body of work, right? I remember in the 90s a very specific thing. He was like, I will never be... What?
He got fired off of the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah. There's new movies coming. He's not in them.
What, huh?
Yeah, you didn't even know about that, did you?
No.
You know, he's like really old, though.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a little kid, he was on 21 Jump Street. I'm in my mid-fucking-40s, so he's pushing 60.
Right.
For real.
Right.
Well, that Jack Sparrow shit only flies for so long there, like...
He had a good 12-year run, so...
I think it was longer than that, man.
Maybe.
Like, it was like 2000, I think, was the first one. Maybe 99, something like that.
Maybe.
And it went on for a long time.
Long time.
And then... I don't know if you remember this. The first movie's phenomenal.
Right.
And they get progressively worse. Like, they look visually amazing because the technology is really good, but the fucking plots are just confusing and not fun.
They ran out of content 3 movies ago.
3 movies ago?
Yeah.
Dude, a long time ago.
The first and second one were good.
The second one even started to jump the shark a little for me. A
little bit.
Yeah. A
little bit.
I don't know.
At least Keith Richards was in it.
I think that's like a third, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know, though. I shouldn't speak on it. I don't really know. Nah. But in the 90s, Johnny Depp gets interviewed, and he was like, I will never be one of those blockbuster guys. Ever. Because he's making, like, Ed Wood, which was fucking great.
Right.
And he does. He makes cool movies back then.
Correct.
And then you get that money, and you're like, oh, my God, I have $100 million. I'm going to go buy 11 houses. Make it 18 houses. And they're all fucking mansions. Like, this is a nice house that you and I are sitting in.
Right.
These are baby houses. This is the fucking servants' quarters of Johnny Depp house.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
This is like where guests come and stay when they're visiting.
They, like, take their coats off here and then go to the house.
Correct.
So.
Come in here, take your shoes off, coat and everything, then you go to the main house.
Exactly. And that's.
Through a covered bridge.
And you have like 17 of them. Holy so you're crap. Talking property taxes all around the world for 17 locations.
Yeah.
Landscaping. Utility bills, like dumb shit. So the money's just flying out the fucking window.
Correct.
He spends like $1,000 on a bottle of wine, and he drinks like three or four a day. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Vedder does that same kind of shit, but he's not, you know, that extravagant. But the point, my friend...
Wait, Eddie Vedder's still alive?
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that. I am not a Pearl Jam fan. I've been mad at Pearl Jam for about 18 or 19 years now.
Okay.
I adored them from about 92 until about, well, Versus comes out. They fire the drummer. Versus is good. Oh, no, I'm a liar. Versus is the second record. Vitalogy comes out, which is the third record. They fire the drummer. By, like, Yield, which is, like, late 90s, they're shit. The songs are shit.
Right.
Like, the first two records are really good. The third record's okay. And then it just, there's a record called No Code, which is fucking atrocious. And, like, they get progressively worse. So by late 90s, I'm like, I don't know about this, this Pearl Jam thing, you know. I do like Pearl Jam, though, but I don't know, you know. And they just kept getting shittier and shittier.
I liked their first album, and that was really it.
I'm with you. A lot of hits.
Yeah.
And then, here's what I gotta say. I gotta give credit where credit is due. When Pearl Jam comes out in 1991, they become famous in 92, okay? The Doors are inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993, okay?
Right.
Eddie Vedder sings for the Doors at the Rock and Roll induction, which is amazing to me. You can look it up on YouTube. It's really cool. Can you fathom anybody who was still relevant from 1970 to 1992 when Pearl Jam becomes a hit? Can you think of any band that's relevant? I mean one. Because there isn't.
Pink Floyd.
No. They're dead. They came back in 94 or 95, but in that little fucking window, they're dead.
Yeah, true.
They're dead. Like, they're nothing.
Like, from the mid-70s until...
No. I said 1970, right? Mm-hmm. To 1992 was 22 fucking years. The Doors... Right. Jim Morrison dies in 70, so the Doors are over. Okay?
Right.
They get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cool. Can you think of anybody in 92 who still mattered from 1970?
No.
In 2019, a band that started in 1991, nearly 30 years, 28 years, people are still talking about this next record. Like, oh, there's a new Pearl Jam record coming. Eddie wins, man. He pulled off a 30-year fucking run. The concerts sell out everywhere they go. Everywhere they go, they sell out. I'm not a fan. Here's why I'm pissed. I finally get to see fucking Pearl Jam play live, right? They play Last Kiss. That was the song I got. Oh, Last Kiss. I'm like, where's fucking Alive? Where's fucking Evil? Oh, the next night I got to pay again. Now they play all the fucking hits. Fuck you, Eddie Vedder. I don't have money to go to two fucking shows. I was a kid. You're a dick.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all you have. Fuck him. Arr.
Yeah, that's business dickhole move.
And then Scott Weiland, who was a full-blown junkie, I saw a month later, and it was phenomenal. Full-blown junkie. Phenomenal. With Johnny Mack, actually, from We Are One, the drummer.
Yeah.
We go see fucking STP. The guy runs off the stage, runs around the spectrum. Yeah, around the spectrum! And then goes back. Like, he's like 4 feet from him. He's like, oh my God! It's fucking... And kept running because he was all cracked up. He didn't care. He's back on the stage.
That's awesome.
It is awesome! And that's a rock star! And they played all the fucking hits. Fucking Eddie Vedder's like, no, I'm gonna play my B-side tonight. And then tomorrow, maybe I'll play it live for you. But you gotta come both nights now, because I'm not gonna do them both. Fuck you, man.
That is a dickhole move.
It's a dickhole move.
That's like something Kiss would do.
Nah, Kiss always delivers, dude. Don't lie to yourself. Like, they have different people plugged in, but they're playing the same fucking songs.
Yeah.
Like, they got that guy, Eric Singer, playing fucking Beth at the piano at this fucking... Yeah, they have a huge piano. It's like, Beth, I hear you crying. My name's Singer, not Peter. You're like, what? Eric Singer. Good drummer, actually. But
yeah.
I don't know. So... We're going to pivot away from the rock and roll. You made a comment off mic when I got a water. How many times in your life have you had near-death experiences? Do you know?
Give me a moment.
Yes, take a moment.
Well, Alex, I would say 7.
7 times you should have died.
Correct.
What's the first one? Let's do that.
Birth.
Me too, motherfucker. What happened to you?
My mom and dad, it was August 29th, 1972.
Okay.
They are on Delaware Avenue at Castor Avenue, known as the Meadows, racing.
Holy shit.
I've
been there racing, but go ahead.
My mom, her sister, and two of her friends were in my mom's car. My mom was driving. It was a 67 Thunderbird.
Okay.
My dad had a 69 Chevelle SS, 396 four-speed, 396 four-speed.
Cool.
Somebody was racing, lost control, sideswiped a bunch of vehicles. My mom's vehicle was among those.
Okay.
She goes into labor a month early. thus Mike was born, or I'm sorry, Magnus was born August 30th, 1972.
That's not that fucking crazy, though.
A month early.
In the birth canal, I was choked by the umbilical cord.
I wasn't breathing for like the first 4 minutes out.
Yeah, I had one of them.
Yeah, same thing.
And so they sliced her open and pulled me out, and I was blue. And they're like, oh, he's dead. And they like kept working on me, and they're like, oh, he's alive. He's alive. Oh, yeah, high five. High five.
Yeah.
So I had one of them.
Yeah, so basic same thing. I have a 4-inch scar tissue mass on the left hemisphere of my brain.
Interesting.
Yeah, so yay.
Okay, what about your second one? Do you remember it? Because you don't remember the first
16
one.
16 years old.
Oh, that long. That's a long time. What happens?
Yeah. All the other things prior to that were like little minor stuff, like, you know, broken bones, abrasions.
So what happened at 16?
Car accident.
It's tragic. What happened?
I was in a 71.5 Volkswagen Super Beetle passenger.
Fuck that car, but keep going.
And my father and I were heading to Burrholm Golf Course.
Okay.
We were crossing Castor Avenue on Cottman and got T-boned by a Ford F-150 pickup truck. Last thing I remember seeing is a headlight arm's length to my right-hand side that was still doing like 40 miles an hour. Woke up in Parkview Hospital's trauma ward a day and a half later.
Get out.
And I was like, what happened? They're like, you were in an accident. I was like, I know. I'm like, where am I? I'm like, I'm obviously not dead. They're like, you pick up on this stuff quick. And I'm like, everything hurts.
Oh, shit.
They're like, how bad? I'm like, really bad.
Give me some fucking morphine.
That was the last thing I remember was trying to answer that question. And then it was 4 days later.
Wow, man.
Broke everything on the right side of my body.
Oh, my God.
Crushed my right foot.
Oh, my God.
Broke my right ankle. What is it in the lower right leg? The fibia and the tibia?
Not a doctor.
Whatever. Them bones in the
them
lower
bones.
Right. Them bones. Fractured my right femur. Took a chip out of my right hip that eventually worked its way out of my body.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Was the guy drunk?
No, he lost his brakes.
Did you get a fuck ton of money for this?
My parents did.
You can get a car out of this? Nothing?
No.
At the tender age of 16?
Nope, I already had one.
Oh, okay. That's pretty amazing.
Kinda.
I did not.
Yeah, my dad's father left me his 66 Le Mans.
Holy shit, nice car.
Yeah, it was.
I like those cars. Yeah. All right, I'm going to tape on my second one. You ready?
Go.
So the same woman who was my mother and delivered me, who did not raise me, by the way, wink, wink, Mike, had a huge drug problem. Fucking huge drug problem. Like, right. Huge drug problem, right? My real father was a fall-down alcoholic, so the fact that they could even fuck and make a baby is just beyond my comprehension.
And here you are.
True story. Neither one of them raised me. So I'm at like 2.5, and she had custody for the weekend, so my dad could go out and power drink, because of course they broke up, because that's what they do. And she took me to a shooting gallery, which if you know anything, it's where the needles are and the drugs, right? No. Yeah. I'm fine. They're partying. I had a cousin named Lena, who I don't even know where that person is. I think I found her on Facebook, actually. I didn't write her. But I found her, so she exists. But she was older than me. So if I was 2, she was like 4, maybe 5.
Right.
And I think about 5. And I, to this day, one of my favorite foods on the planet Earth is a chocolate chip cookie. Like, I fucking adore it. I, like, love them. The texture of a chocolate cookie in my mouth with fucking milk, oh, orgasmic for me. I love it. Like, that's a cookie jar right there filled with cookies. Right fucking there. Love cookies, right? So I'm hungry because in a shooting gallery, they tend not to feed the children because they're doing the drugs, right? And I am looking around.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had a different idea of what a shooting gallery is.
Yeah.
All right.
Heroin.
Okay. Moving forward.
Okay.
We're on the same page now.
So now we're on the same page.
Correct.
So they don't feed the kids. It's very dirty. It's decimated. It's an awful place. I find a little circle on the ground filled with rat poison. But I'm 2, and I'm like, I love me some cookies. And that looks like it might be the shape of a cookie. Oh, swallow the whole fucking thing. And I'm just chilling. I'm like, oh, that was not good. I did not enjoy that cookie in the least. Let me tell you. And I'm like, fucking 2. Oh, so God. My cousin goes to like her dad. She's like, oh my God, he totally ate a cookie. I want a cookie. Now the dad is smart enough to know they don't have any fucking cookies in the house. You understand?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we don't have any cookies. I don't know what's going on. Oh, he ate the rat poison. Oh, fuck. So instead of calling an ambulance, because if the police showed up, they would have busted the shooting gallery.
Correct.
They throw me in the back of someone's shitty car and they drive me to the hospital like, oh my God, he ate rat poison. Oh my God. So they pump my stomach, which to this day, I have an awful gag reflex. I mean, awful. Like, if you want your son not to be a homosexual, probably pump his stomach when he's two, and he'll never get a penis in his mouth ever. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm pretty sure.
Can't do it. So, gag reflex. They pump my stomach, and they're like, oh, if you'd have come 20 minutes later, he was going to be crippled for the rest of his life. So, good one.
Holy crap.
So, of course, I'm in the hospital for like a week. They release me. I'm supposed to go back for a checkup. My mother never goes back ever because she's afraid she's going to get arrested because they fucking the rat poison, right? So that's mom. That happened. So at two, I should have died then.
Correct.
What's your next one?
Third one. Third, fourth, and fifth.
This is complicated.
Are all the same thing almost.
Okay.
And I think we touched on this where I got almost blown up a couple times in the military.
We definitely have.
So those, I'll just glance over them. Improvised explosive device or RPG or something blowing up near me. And I'm still here, and people that were further behind me by a distance of 10 feet or greater are not here.
Okay.
All because of I didn't get hit with the shrapnel. I only got hit with the blast, and the people behind me got hit with pieces of shrapnel and died.
Really?
Correct.
How does that make you feel, man?
I'm not really sure. I'm still confused by it to this day.
So, is it luck of the draw? Is it hand of God? Like, what do you think it is?
Everything's numbers, man.
Go ahead, explain.
God is numbers. We are numbers. Everything is numbers. Everything breaks down to a one or a zero or a probability.
I don't agree, but okay.
That's all we are. That's all our existence
well,
is.
Well, in physics...
Correct.
It appears that you and I are different entities.
Right.
But we're not. We're all connected in the same fucking fields. Like,
kinda, yeah.
Did you ever watch Sopranos?
Off and on.
All right. You probably weren't a fan, but I was a fan. Tony Soprano gets shot towards the end of the series, I think in like not the last season or maybe the one before.
Right.
And he's in the hospital. And when he's in the hospital, there's a gangster rapper who got shot and Tony Soprano who got shot and this old white guy who has like throat cancer.
Okay.
And the white guy is like a rocket scientist, literally the character. And so the fucking hip-hop guy is like, yo, Tony Soprano, come to my room, man. I'm going to get the fight. You know what I'm saying? He's like, well, I'm going to bring my doctor friend here. And he's like, oh, Tony Soprano, yeah, real G, yeah, right? So they're all sitting there. And I remember this profoundly affected me. It was a long time ago. So the old white guy, who, did you ever see Creepshow?
Yes.
Remember the husband that killed the annoying wife in Creepshow?
Yes.
That guy is on The Sopranos 25 years later.
Okay.
Right. So that actor, I love that actor. He's also in Wall Street, if you remember the movie Wall Street.
I barely remember.
But the husband who killed his annoying fucking wife with the Tasmanian devil in Creepshow is that guy, right? But now he's really old, white beard, white hair. He's like, I'm really old. So, for real. So he's sitting there and they're watching the boxing match. And he's like, I got to tell you, it appears to you that those guys are separate entities. But I'm telling you that they're all connected in the universe. And then what you talk about, man? You know, the gangster people. And then so he goes on this dissertation about how matter and the whole thing is really one big sphere together.
Right.
So when you say it breaks down to ones and zeros, I don't know about that. But it's all connected.
Right. I do agree with that. Everything is all connected. But what are the chances that three separate times the same exact thing happens to me in almost the same exact type of setting?
Can I ask dumb questions?
Yes.
Were you positioned relatively in the same way every time with the unit? Or were you like in the back or in the front or in the middle? Were you always kind of in the middle? Like, how'd it work?
Actually, my count's off. No, that time doesn't count. Never mind. No, the count's right.
Okay.
That time I don't count because we were definitely superior in that. I wasn't in any harm of dying that day.
Not that day.
Not that day. But, yeah, relatively about the same positioning, except for one time.
But that's the thing. So in a physics way, when something implodes or explodes, it goes in the way it goes. And if you're kind of in the same position every time and you kind of didn't get hit, that could be... I'll give you an example. So we're in a car, right?
Right.
The guy behind the driver, the steering wheel, is going to, if you hit something head on, is in better shape than the person sitting in the passenger seat because there's a good chance the passenger seat will go through the windshield.
Right.
If no one's wearing a seatbelt. So positioning could matter, especially in physics, when something happens violent like that.
The two things that I attribute to this is two pieces of gear. I had soft body armor pants that are shorts, like just above the kneecaps. And then I had hard body armor pants over top of it. So I had I had that over top of my, what you call it, soft body armor, and then my BDUs over top of that. And then I had soft body armor underneath all of my gear. And then hard body armor over top of it. So that was just my head. That was just my chest and my legs. So both times it happened, I still didn't take any damage. But the last time, the blast was so powerful, it ripped whatever free clothing was just hanging out and basically tore it off. Like, I look like something out of a movie.
That's scary, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was bloody and cut up a little bit.
But nothing.
Nothing bad. Nothing, like, life-threatening that... I mean, but I should have died. Two other people died twice in those events. And I was just like, the hell? They're like, what are you made out of? And they start knocking on my head and stuff. I'm like, get off me. I'm tingly.
So my third, right... I was probably 18 years old. I finally got a car when I was 17. After I graduated high school. I was 17 when I graduated. And it was my first winter. And I just dropped out of college because I'm a loser. And my girlfriend did not drop out of college. But I think I was picking her up to take her to class. And she lived in Juniata. Another Port Richmond, right? Okay. So you know the so.
Yeah.
I'm driving my stupid car. It had not snowed that day, but it had snowed the night before. And the roads weren't really plowed yet. When you get to Armingo Avenue, for instance, it was plowed.
Right.
But I was on a side street approaching it. And I'm fucking 18. I'm dumb as the day is long. And I'm in a 1979 Mercury Monarch, which is... Yeah, exactly. It's a death trap. Correct. And I'm in my death trap, and I'm like, my car is so heavy. Fuck the snow. I'm going to drive right through it, which I was. And then the light turns red. And a tractor trailer gets stuck in the intersection from traffic. And he's across me, the front of me. The tractor trailer is across the front. Right. So I tap my brakes. And they go, we're not stopping.
No, we're not.
You're dumb.
Yeah.
So as I'm careening to go underneath the tractor trailer, like guillotine style, I'm 18. I don't react well. I tense my back and stick my arms out. I'm like, ah! And so my head should have gotten chopped off immediately.
Right.
It did not. The front of the car, by luck, caught that metal framing that holds the tire.
Okay.
And ripped up the hood like a tin can.
And slowed you down.
And stopped me.
Nice.
The windshield didn't break, nothing. And I'm just sitting there. And so I get out of the car and the guy's like, you all right, boy? And I'm like, yeah.
I'm fine, Cletus.
Should we exchange insurance? Like, you can't hurt this here, truck boy. Your car stopped backing out. And I started it, and I backed out, and the hood looks like a fucking tin can, like a wave, like a surf wave, right?
Right.
The fucking lights are gone. The fucking grill's gone. And I just back it out. And he's like, all right, boy, have a good day. Drive safe now. And I'm like, thank you, random sir. And he drives away, right? And I just drove to my mechanic and wrote the note, I fucked up, and put it under the windshield wiper. And I walked home and didn't have a car for like a month and a half while they fixed it, which was really awful. So I should have died because I didn't react. Like, you know, in your mind, you're like, oh, I'll lay down on the seat and I'll have a fucking convertible.
Right.
No. My head was coming off.
Oh, God.
Like, I was fucking dead. Had to be doing 50. I was dumb. I'm like, I'm going to come right through this. Oh, shit, the light's red. Oh, the brakes. Oh, the brakes not working. Oh, fuck, I'm going to die. Like, it was just awful. It was instantaneous. And I remember thinking... Wow. And I had to call my girlfriend, who was mad that I couldn't drive her to school. She's like, God damn it. I'm like, baby, I almost died in a car accident.
She don't care. I got to get a calculus class.
She could not care. Could not care less. What's your fourth?
Well,
now we're up to like sixth, actually.
Yeah. The next couple one are muggings.
Get the fuck out of here. You know, I've never been mugged ever. Knock on wood. Like, I secretly want to get mugged. Like, I want someone to pull a knife on me to the point where I could take it out of their hand and beat them up with it.
Well, let me help you with that.
No, I'm just saying, like, if somebody pulls a gun on me and they're 20 feet away, they're going to win.
Right.
But if they pull a gun on me and we're within arm's length,
yeah.
I'm going to fucking take your gun.
Yeah.
Because if I take your gun or at least hold on to your wrist, what are you going to do now? I know how strong I am because I'm a roofer. I know the things I can pick up and what I can move. Understand? Right. Like, I'll never forget this. 10 years ago, I got into this business and my second marriage, my brother-in-law was like, yeah, sometimes I get in bar fights, you know? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, and every time that happens, I know that they are not as strong as I am because I'm a roofer. I'm like, what are you talking about? But when you're carrying 90 pounds on your shoulder, 40 feet in the air, over and over again, you tend to build up some strength.
A little bit.
And a guy working in a desk all week does not have that ability if you're in a bar fight. So that brute strength shit comes in handy, right?
A little bit.
So the point is, if someone was to pull a gun on me, I'm at least locking my hand around their wrist. I did security very briefly, right out of college, very briefly. But they teach you that. If a weapon's pulled, you lock your hand around the wrist because now they don't have that weapon anymore. Mm-hmm. Now they might punch you and you might punch them, but hold on to that fucking weapon because the weapon can't be used against you if you're holding it out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if they have a weapon, they're kind of pussies anyway. Like DMX used to rob people with his dog. He's like, what's up? This is my dog. Give me your money. And they're like, oh, I guess I'm going to give him money because you're DMX and here you go.
Right.
But if you have a gun, you're kind of a bitch. Like, okay. So anyway, how did you almost die getting mugged?
Three different circumstances.
Oh my God. So we're going with like 9 death fucking things.
Yeah, that's about accurate. So, no, we're still at 6. 6, 7.
Well, this is 7. This is 7.
Yeah, this is 7. The first one, I was coming back from getting free tickets for, 94.1 WYSP event that was happening at Temple.
What year? Roughly.
2005.
So, okay, that's your first mugging. That's not that long ago.
No. It's the first time I was actually ever mugged.
In your 30s.
Right. Actually, no, there was one mugging before that, but I wasn't afraid for my life. Yeah, I wasn't afraid for my life.
So you're coming back from getting your tickets, and what happened?
Coming back from getting my tickets, and I'm walking from the art museum down to City Hall to get on the train.
I lived there in 2005, okay. By the way, but keep going.
I'm traveling.
It's a very, very nice neighborhood.
I'm traveling down this one little back street. I think it was called Ranstead. And some little crackhead came out of nowhere. And pulled a knife on me, and instead of asking for money, just immediately slashed at me. And I was like you know, lunging, coming at me straight like that. So training kicked in immediately as soon as I saw what was going on.
Yeah,
sidestepped him, grabbed his arm, took him down to the ground, and took his knife from him. I let him up, and he pulled another knife on me. And I said, okay, now we both have knives, and I just took yours from you. I was like, do you really want to do that? And he just looked at me, and he lunged again, so I took a second knife from him the same exact way. I'm like, how many knives you got? He's like, I got a whole bunch. I'm Hispanic. I'm like, I don't know what that got to do with anything, but I got 4 knives of my own on me besides the 2 I just took from you. So we're pretty much on equal ground here. Keep going. I need a new collection. So that ended that way.
I don't feel like that's a life-threatening event at all.
He had like 8 knives on him.
But even if someone stabs you, you don't die. Like my maternal grandfather, who they didn't raise me, he got stabbed once.
Right.
Because he lived in a pretty shitty neighborhood. At least it turned shitty while he was there.
Okay.
And he said it's like a fist. Like it felt like somebody punched him. He didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then so he fucking clocked the guy. The guy went down. What a scuffle. But somebody, so he's fighting the one guy and somebody else he feels like punches him.
Right.
But he didn't punch him. He fucking stabbed him.
Right.
Like, he didn't know. So it breaks up. He goes in the house and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm bleeding. Like, how, you know what I mean? Like, you don't feel that shit, dude. Unless it goes to your fucking heart or your, like, a fucking carotid artery or some shit.
Right.
Like, fuck that.
Sometimes. I mean, I got cut a couple times.
I'm with you.
Which brings me to the next one.
Okay.
This is previous to that one that I was just talking about. This is when 1996, I want to say.
Okay.
I ran into my oldest son's mother's new boyfriend.
That's so complicated. Baby
yeah.
mama boyfriend. Keep going.
Yeah, baby mama's boyfriend. And we had words. He pulled a cane sword on me and sliced my arm open.
That would make me angry. Like, I wouldn't be fearful of someone slicing my... Once you cut me, I'm like, fuck you! What? Rah! Like,
yeah. Well, I eventually got the sword out of his hand and broke the blade. But prior to that, he could have stabbed me and killed me easily. It was an 18-inch long blade.
See, I'm so fucking arrogant as a human being that mortality wouldn't register in my mind. I'd be more offended that someone had the audacity to pull the sword on me. Like, fuck you. Like, again, you bum rush them. Like, if he's pulling a sword, he's not a sword fighter.
I was kind of an asshole during that fight. Okay. And I said, I know you don't need that cane. I was like, why are you carrying that thing? And he pulled the sword out on me and he slashed my arm real quick with it. He was extremely quick and well-versed in using it. So I wind up getting into a scuffle with him and I said, you're going to need that cane when I'm done with him. Broke both of his kneecaps.
Okay, I don't see how that's a near-death thing for you, but fine. Well, you can lie to us some more.
It was a situation where if it wasn't for training, I wouldn't be here right now.
Third installment of your muggings. That wasn't a mugging, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, kind of a mugging.
No.
Kind of.
Not a mugging. An assault, if you will, with a deadly weapon, I might add.
Yes, definitely.
Dude, if somebody cuts open one of my tattoos in my arm, I'm calling the cops. Fucking guy cut my tattoo open here. I'm going to die there. Yak him up, dear. All right, dear. Actually, I'm not a cop person.
I think you can do that in Canada and over in Great Britain.
Now. Yeah, I'm not. I don't call the police, actually. No. I'm not that person. But keep going.
Last one was a home invasion in San Antonio, Texas.
Little scary. Starting out, I'm with you. Keep going.
Firearm, chain, and a baseball bat was what the three guys had.
Jesus Christ.
Each one of them had a big duffel bag for carrying shit.
Okay.
And I guess they thought that we weren't home. Carport parked out front, and my car was in the shop getting inspected. My roommate's car was in the shop getting inspected, and his wife followed us over to the inspection station and then drove us back to the house and dropped us off, and then they were going to have the cars dropped off at the house when the inspection was
done. You don't have to tell me any of this. My car wasn't there when it fucking sufficed.
Right,
go ahead.
There's no cars out front. These people think that there's nobody home. I guess they've been casing houses on the block, which they had been doing.
Oh,
apparently.
My God. Okay, casing houses.
They come in through the back door.
Yes.
Frank's on the couch asleep, right over top of his shotgun. We were in a shitty neighborhood in San Antonio.
Okay.
So things like this happened all the time. Yes. So every room had at least a rifle and a pistol in it of some kind. Well, a long arm and a pistol in it of some kind. So Frank breaks out the 12 gauge and all I hear is rally up. So that means throw down for some shit. That's his way of saying we got to do something. So I come out with my AR-15 in my hand and hold three guys at gunpoint until they come in, until the police got there and arrested them.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. Really?
Frank's laying on the couch like this with a 12 gauge, just, you know, laying there going, so if you guys are going to move, go ahead and move, but I don't want to have to clean my ceiling. So that was the other time. If Frank hadn't been on the couch and if he had been in his bedroom sleeping, we wouldn't have had the advantage that we had.
Jesus Christ. What color were they?
Black and Mexican.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. It was a kind of scary experience, even though I didn't really feel all that scared. It could have ended a lot differently.
Well, the weapon, the gun. The guns, yeah. Like, fuck everything else. A chain isn't good or anything, but
right.
The gun's scary. Like,
correct.
I can face a bat. I can face a chain. I'm going to get fucked up. But if somebody swings a chain at you and you don't mind busting up your hand, catch the fucking chain. Now,
oh,
it's
yeah,
going to hurt.
Absolutely.
But now they're fucked.
Correct.
You understand? Same thing with a bat. You can get a bat away from somebody. You know, it's weird. Most people don't know how to hurt someone with a bat. In your opinion, if you had a bat in your hand and you're being attacked, what would you do to defend yourself?
If I had a bat in my hand, mm-hmm. and I had to defend myself? Yeah. Depends on what the person's using to attack with.
No, nothing. They're coming at you.
Just hands?
Yeah.
Straight poke right to the ribs.
Smart. Smarter is the fucking legs.
Yes.
The shins, man. You pop a shin with the fucking front of that bat. Oh, my God. The pain is ungodly.
Uh-huh.
And most people are swinging. Fuck swinging a bat. You got a piece of wood like that? Fucking pop them in the ankle. Pop them in the fucking knee. You know what I mean? Pop, pop. Low hits.
Correct.
And that's how you would do that. Not that I know from experience.
No,
or anything.
No, not at all. No. I've never once had someone try to come after me and I had a bat and I use it in that way or anything. Okay, maybe twice.
As I cough. Yeah. All right, this is my fourth installment of Almost Dying. You ready?
Yes.
I purchased my first adult home in 1997.
Okay.
The day that I moved in is the summer, which is July. Mike Tyson is facing Evander Holyfield and he bites his fucking ear off.
Oh, God.
Remember the two bites?
Yeah.
That's the day I moved in. I went to my parents' house to watch the fight because they had it. I didn't have cable yet, right? So I watched the fight. I'm like, it was amazing. Bites the ear off. I'm like, oh, it sucks. I want to see Titan fight. Yeah. So that's the day I move in. The house had been vacant for 5 years. I purchased it from a family member. You with
right.
me?
Right. Yes.
That winter comes. We had refurbished the bathroom. We had refurbished the bedroom. And we were working, me and my father. And my mom too, room by room, making the house decent, right? But I had a working bathroom and I had a working bedroom that was nice. And then the kitchen was fine the way it was, but it had to be like fixed, right? Heat gets turned on, I'm going to say in September or October, whenever it got cold.
Right.
And then in November, in October, I started a new job. And then in November, I remember writing, I always wrote in a journal. I was like, you know, I've had a lot of headaches lately. I don't know what's going on, but my head hurts. Maybe it's stress from the new job. Maybe right. I miss my girlfriend who I broke up with. Did you see it?
Maybe.
So this is a long time ago. There's no cell phones yet, but I had a pager. My parents had a key to my house, obviously. I was at my girlfriend's house, and I get a page at like 8 o'clock at night on a Friday from my home number, which was like weird. Like, oh, I guess my parents are there. I'm like, hello. My dad's like, hey, your mother has to talk to you. So she puts my mom on. And she's like, yeah, I bought a carbon monoxide detector. And I put it on, and it went off the charts, and the gas company came and turned off your gas because it turns out that you almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, God.
Now, here's where it gets weird.
That's where I thought this was going.
The day before Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving, the Wednesday, the day before,
right.
I was driving a truck, and I was filling vending machines. And we knew we had off Thursday, and then we were going to work Friday. So it was like you had to work Wednesday because you were going to be behind. Your route, because you have a five-day route, and right. you're losing a day. You with me?
Yeah.
So I go out and my alarm goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning. Cause you gotta be in the truck at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? The alarm goes off. I look at it. I hit it. I stand up. No, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. And I dropped like a fucking sack of potatoes.
Holy shit.
And I was like, and I crawled to the bathroom and I turned on the shower and I like got myself in the shower and I couldn't really stand. And I'm rinsing off and I'm fucked up. But I couldn't call out because, again, they were doubling up our workload and I was right. brand new at the position. But I wanted to call out. But I was like, no, I got to go. I got to go. I don't know what's wrong with me. This is a virus. I got to go. I got to fight through it, right?
Right.
I get into my fucking car. It's 4:30 or 4:45 in the morning. I roll the fucking windows down. It's cold. I'm on 95 going all the way to Croydon where the trucks were.
Yeah.
The wind's coming in and I'm like drifting all over 95. I'm doing like 60 miles an hour. Like I'm fucked up. I park the car, I get in the work truck, I start the truck, I get it out, and I'm not in the truck 5 minutes and it goes away like it never happened. And I'm like, oh, my sickness is gone. This is so great. Thank you, Jesus. Yay.
Right.
Right? I finished the day without incident, everything's cool, and like a week later, they put on the carbon monoxide. That morning, I was dying.
Yeah.
And if I would have had a regular job where your alarm goes off at 6 or 7 a.m.
You probably wouldn't be right now. No,
I'd be dead.
Right.
It was a fluke. I never in my life had a job like that before or since. Just dumb luck, dude. I should have been dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
A couple more hours, you would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you got up and you felt like that and it took that long for you to get
better. Yeah, a good 45 better, minutes to get better.
Yeah, that's definitely. And you had all that fresh air all mm-hmm. the way up there from mm-hmm. that. Yeah, that's definitely bad.
I just thought I had a cold. Swear to God. So I know the carbon monoxide poisoning, though it sucks, isn't that bad. It's not very painful. You don't feel anything. I'm serious. You just right. fucking don't feel shit. You're just like, I don't.
You just start getting groggy and then you fall asleep.
But that one was scary. And then, so my parents, they helped me because I had no money back then. All my money went into this fucking house. You know what I mean?
Right.
They paid. They had the fucking, the chimney relined, the whole fucking thing. Thank God. It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
The irony is what I kind of do now. Ha ha ha. But back then, you know, it was like a big deal. And yeah, man, they fucking cleaned it out. The lining had fallen inside of itself.
Oh.
And the house was just filled with carbon monoxide.
Right.
Just dumb luck. And then I didn't have heat for like a week for the guy to come out and fix it.
Lovely.
And it was really cold. My parents were like, come stay at the house. I'm like, no, I pay the mortgage. I'm going to sleep here in the cold. Ah.
Like an asshole. Meanwhile, in the main bedroom with a teepee and a little bonfire.
It was pretty bad. But I don't know. Anyway, that was bad. That was a close one. Like I should have fucking checked out.
Not exactly the same, but I had the same thing happen with my chimney, but it wasn't to the point where I already had carbon monoxide detectors in the house.
Smart.
So they had just came out in 95.
Okay.
94, 95 was when carbon monoxide detectors became a thing in like Home Depot or wherever. I think I got them at Sears.
Okay.
But we, I had them in there, and I noticed one morning when I woke up, something was beeping downstairs.
Oh.
And I was like, then I went, me, and like the detector goes off, and I was like, oh, that's definitely a leak. And I had my contractor buddy come out looking, and he goes, yeah, your chimney's collapsed. He goes, we're going to have to redo the whole thing. And you're right, it was. It was a couple grand to get it fixed.
Oh, yeah, it's a bitch, dude.
Even with my buddy doing it, and I was like, dude, for instance, kindergarten, he goes, screw you, this is my business. And I was like, I understand, fix my shit, I don't want to die.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, that same thing. I was like, that's not cool. And it was an old house down in Kensington at K and Venango.
That happens, man. That fucking shit falls in, you're dead.
Remember when we were down doing the last last podcast, I was in the house and I said, well, this is kind of creepy. Same layout as my old house, okay, in Venango. Same style house as the Port Richmond house.
And that's the one I almost died in. That's right. The house.
Yeah.
So, dun, dun, dun.
That roof collapsed on that house while I was away on vacation in Virginia with my son and my ex.
You know that's your fault, right? Roofs don't just collapse.
No, this one was squirrel related.
That's your fault, sir.
It happened while I was away on vacation. All right, what do you want me to do?
Let's discuss logistics to a fucking roofer, no less. If you're gone for a week and a half, or 2 weeks,
correct.
There's nothing a squirrel can do in 2 weeks to make a fucking roof collapse in. It's impossible.
It made a whole bunch of leaves get stuck inside the downspout.
Okay.
And then he got stuck in the downspout.
Okay. Then he just dug his way out?
No. It caused the roof to fill up with water.
Which
it
happens.
Was enough of a blockage to make it so the way the whole roof turned into a pool, and then the back half of the roof collapsed on the house.
The worst thing I'd ever seen ever as a roofer when it comes to that shit is this lady, an African-American woman, older, in her 70s, really nice, like grandmotherly type.
Right.
Somewhere probably in West Philly. Maybe North Philly, actually. In the hood. We put up the ladder. Gigantic house. Really tall. We climb up. I can't even take it. I have one guy with me, so my guy's footing. So I'm up there by myself. And before I go, I go in the house, and she shows me, and I take her in her back room, and you could see the roof is falling through the fucking beams, which is bad shit.
Yeah.
Roof should never get to that point.
No.
And she said, I gave them all this money. I pay them like $300 or $400 a month every month against it. She's paying it off. I did the math. They charge like $30,000 for a $3,000 roof.
Oh, my God.
Because of the interest and all the things they claim they did, right? So I go up. The roof's brand new. But, bro, there was a pool, a fucking like 3-foot pool of water in the whole back of the house to the point where vegetation of like 6 feet in the air is growing out of it.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I took pictures. I was amazed by this. Now, I couldn't step on it because I would go right fucking through. But I'm tall, and I could reach over. I started pulling the vegetation out, and I dropped it on the side of the house floor, and I took pictures, and I was like, of course I could fix this. But you're paying someone $400 every month against the warranty of a brand new roof. They should fucking come fix it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how this works. And they were like, yeah, we'll fix it. We're going to charge you. But they're making her pay like 30 grand for this goddamn roof. So she's like, I'm rocking the place.
For those at home listening, I'm sitting here dumbfounded, just jaw drop thinking about this.
So I took pictures and her niece had come over. The niece was like, you know, 30s or 40s, smart. And I said, these are your photographs. Somebody took pictures of the fucking roof. Tell them it was a drone. Because if I quote unquote stepped on your roof, it voids your warranty.
Right.
Because it does. So a drone went up there, sir, and took these photographs. Now tell me why there's a fucking pool of water on my fucking roof. You know
right.
what I mean?
Exactly.
So by rights, like if you put a roof on for somebody and they give you money, like that's a lot of money. Thousands of dollars. Like just go fix it. Just go fix the fucking roof. Like don't be an asshole. You got up there to fix it. There was a brand new roof. For real.
Right.
But it was just, it collapsed in on itself because it wasn't fucking set up correctly. The downspouts weren't right. Like, it was a fucking nightmare, man.
Yeah.
And they told her they resheathed. Well, that's impossible because the fucking thing collapsed in. Like, I don't know, man. Roofing's a weird business.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're almost to the end.
No.
No, it's okay. Any other near-death experiences you want to share quickly?
Not near-death experiences, just really weird experiences where people tried to mug me or been in a fight and then someone pulled a weapon and I made them look like an asshole because they did so.
Yeah, I never get mugged, man. And then I asked somebody I work with who's from the hood and he's like, you just don't have that look. Like, you're going to pick the guy to mug? Probably not the fucking guy covered in tattoos with the bald head. Like, maybe that's not the guy you mug. Maybe.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
And then we were in Kensington doing a roof a few weeks ago. And it was a Sunday. And the reason we went on a Sunday is because the weather was cooperating. You understand?
Right.
Like, it like rained and shit all week. We couldn't get out. So the guy's like, my roof's leaking. Cool. We pulled the truck up on the corner. I leave Timmy with the truck. Now, Timmy's a thin little white guy. He kind of looks like a cop, actually, with the glasses and shit. So me and Chris go down, and we go in the house with the guy, and we're fucking seeing the hole and the whole thing. We come back, and Timmy's surrounded by all the drug dealers. Like, you got to move the truck, man. This is a business, man. You got to move the truck. But luckily, there's a giant black guy with it. It's like, yo, it's cool. And they all just scattered away like roaches. And there's Timmy in the midst of it. He didn't move the truck. Like, you know, Timmy was cool. I moved the truck. But it was like weird. Like, you can't go to work at certain parts of the city because that was a business corner for them. They're selling drugs in that corner and your truck's blocking them.
Yeah, I get it. I get that one.
It's fucked up, man. I didn't get that at all. It annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah, you're talking to the guy used to, as a teenager, would walk down North Philly from Juniata to buy nickel bags of weed. So.
Yeah, that's not a good way to be.
No, it was cool back there because you know what? A lot of the people that worked on the street and then were a little bit older were people that I knew already from like school and stuff like that.
No, no. Buying illegal narcotics is never a positive, my friend.
It's just weed, man.
Is that just weed,
it's
man?
It's just weed,
but
man.
What if you're a minor, man? Now it's not just weed, man. It's a little weird, man.
Well,
no, not at all.
No, not really.
I don't know. Self-medicating is not my thing. Never was.
Well, I don't know, man.
Like, when you're our age and you have aches and pains, legitimate, like, disorders,
yes.
That makes sense to me. But if I'm 15 and I'm mad at my mom, I'm not going to go fucking smoke wacky tobacco with my friends. I don't know.
I got better luck when I was a teenager getting high than I did not high getting laid. So that was my main thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 42 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Magnus, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We are available on the Podbean application on your phone. And we are available on the Loud and Loaded Network. So this is VexX telling you to stay frosty.